Hello and welcome to another edition of the D&D show. Still don't officially know what that stands for. We're adamant it doesn't stand for Dungeons and Dragons because that would just be too obvious and we might get sued. Yeah, but we're working on it. We're working on it. So if you've got any suggestions on what D&D show could stand for, then do send them in on our Twitter handle. Show D&D. Yeah, any name suggestions for what D&D could stand for other than
Dungeons and Drag Queens?
Dungeons and Drag Queens, that's a good one.
We could all just dress up in drag, it'd be great.
I'm in.
Yeah, man,
I've already got the heels.
Yeah, I've got some connections there. Absolutely. My godfather is like works in the PR department, or he'd like in promotions and stuff at the Vauxhall Tavern in London. He's massive in the LGBTQT kind of scene and everything, and yeah, he's one of my best friends, is my godfather as well, so I'm sure he could help us with that. I'm sure he could certainly put us in touch with some people that could help with that. Excellent. Yeah, so so hello again, everybody, thanks for joining us. My name's Luke, or Lukey baby. I am your dungeon master, your GM, your best friend. We are an actual play, in case you didn't know, an actual play RPG podcast / Twitch streaming extravaganza. We are currently, despite what I was just saying about our name, we are currently, of course, playing Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition, working our way through the starter set Lost Minds of Phandelver. Tonight, I'm joined by the usual crowd. We have ladies first, Lisa, playing Millicent, the half-elven bard. How are we doing, Lisa?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I have rum. I am happy.
Excellent day. I'm back on the Aldi's own brand Copperberg ripoffs, pear, cucumber, and mint. It's lovely. Gavin, our resident dwarven swashbuckling rogue Burr, how are you?
No, it's me. I'm good. I'm on this stuff called Devassa tonight. My father-in-law delivers beer and managed to grab a crate of this for me that was going in the bin, and it's perfectly fine stuff.
Nice.
Sponsored by.
That was awesome. I don't know why that was just like liquid telly.
And you heard the beautiful, smooth, low tones there of James, our morally dubious human paladin justice scapes. How are you, sir?
He does actually have morals. They're just a little bit ajar from everyone else's. He's principled.
Yeah, fair enough. And then last but by no means least, of course, he's our superstar, our regular player of the week award winner. What's your name? Sean. There we go.
I didn't know there was awards.
MVP. I thought he was always marking him as MVP, most valued player.
That's usually his missus saying that, though. That's
he is, of course, the one and only Sean Lee. He plays Pock, our gnome druid. How you doing, mate?
All good. I just had my photo done for Employee of the Month.
We're going to put that up on the wall right behind me. Here we've got...
I'm not jealous at all. Not bitter.
You're going down.
No, but,
Pop gets murdered by...
so straight away, we've got a suggestion from Psychon Sense saying, dashing and disarmed. Troy Tempest, Drinking Dragons. There used to be one of my favourite podcasts. They're now called Greetings Adventurers, but they used to be called Drunks and Dragons, and they're absolutely fantastic. Check them out. D&D 4 says Dice and Dex. Lecky Macron says Ducks and Dicks. That's a good one, actually. That's the one. So yeah, we've got a usual crowd in the Twitch stream chat already. So hello everybody, and Daz Bray, of course, Lisa's boyfriend Peter. I'm learning. How are we doing, Peter?
Hey,
Albion RPG as well. Nice to see you. To see you, nice.
Oh, Brucey, take it away.
Oh dear. So, How is everybody? We've not, again, as usual, we've spent the past sort of hour trying to get our everything set up. So sorry we're late. But we haven't
really chatted. Always start with an apology, don't we?
I know. One day we'll be professionals at this. Once we've got a bit more of a following, we can start a Patreon and people can start giving us a bit of money. We can invest in some better equipment.
And something. Well, I like it. You've got dreams, man.
Oh, we're going to take over the world, man. Yeah. Why not? Yeah, why not?
One laggy stream at a time.
Cool. I don't know if we've got anything to talk about in the real world this week. My son turned.
Oh, can we not?
Yeah,
let's do that. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, the videos you put were very cute.
Yeah, that was funny. We tricked him.
Evil parent. Yeah.
So he wanted a Switch for his birthday. We told him he couldn't have one because they were too expensive, and then got my whole family to chip in, and we bought one for him. And my dad sent him a Pokemon Sword. And he opened that first, and we were like, oh no, why has he sent that for you? He must be getting old and senile. He must have thought it was a DS game. Oh, I'm really sorry for it. And he was
ragging you.
And he was like, so I can't remember what he said, but he basically started slagging off granddad. And then we pulled the Switch out from the covers and changed his mind. Yeah, but it was lovely. So we had barbecue for dinner when I finished work, and I've eaten way too much meat, and I'm really tired this evening.
Meat hangover.
Yeah, I don't know how this can go. Other than that, the real world is, I mean, what's been going on? You know, we've still got...
Oh, the real world's dark and terrible and full of torment. Horrible. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, everything's shit at the moment.
It really is.
It's gone a bit weird, isn't it?
I like to say everyone's gone crazy, but as far as I've known throughout my life, it's just been an exponential growth of craziness.
Like I said the other day in our chat, I miss the days before Facebook when I could be blissfully unaware that there were twats about.
Before you realise that
my Facebook feed's just been
like a horrible racist, you know, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a beautiful time when you actually had to ask someone first if you wanted to tell them your opinion.
Yeah.
Now you just tell your opinion at the wall.
What about personally? Has anybody had anything interesting happen this week?
We might be going back into work soon, which is an interesting conversation that's happening. No students, but it's going to be weird. Basically, they're saying that we're going to do voluntary lessons where we offer to teach groups of students that might come into college, which is basically college anyway.
Mm-hmm. That is pretty much a lesson.
Sounds about right. Yeah. I never went to college. I don't know how.
I'll just use it as an opportunity to take James in and teach him like ABC logic. There you go. I'll just do free.
How big is the studio? Can we all squeeze in
it's
for
pretty
a,
fucking big
a game?
Yeah. It's I've got a whole auditorium that we could use if you really want the social distance D&D game.
I'm not at work at the moment.
Obviously, like, it's different for me because I'm shielding because of the niece and stuff, but you know, it's nice to hear some of that stuff happening, even if it is only in the distant future. Mm-hmm. It feels like movement at least.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. New album's out tomorrow, that's good. And that's happening in the real world.
Who's new Haken. Album?
Haken's new album.
Amazing.
Is that it? Yeah, it's supposed to be D&D.
Yeah, let's
all right, cool.
Let's kill some things.
All right.
Unless you want to talk about my trip to B&Q today, let's D&D.
The longer I can put it off for the better.
All week he's been trying to tell this story.
Carry on. No, carry on, please.
All right, let's do some dice rolls then. Highest roll gets to do the... catch up on last week.
I'm gonna go analog. I'm rolling my dice.
Analog.
10.
Oh, 16. Ooh. 19. Which is unfortunate because he's not here. he's dropped out just as he rolled the highest number. I'm willing to wait.
Next highest. Then
we can wait.
By the time.
Yeah, well, he's dropped out again. Oh dear. Oh dear, oh dear.
He'll come back.
Oh, he'll come back. Looks like we've got time to hear about your B&Q story after all, Kevin.
I don't know. Am I back?
You're back. He's back. Hey, that's all right. He saved you from the B&Q story. I bought paint. That's pretty much it.
All right.
Quick, James, go.
All right, James, it looks like you won this week. So fill everybody in. What happened? Where are we in this wonderful story that we're crafting together?
Right, we do have a bit of a problem because I kept on disconnecting last week. So, like, it's basically like I've got amnesia, but I remember bits. No, it's more like shell shock. Maybe someone should take over.
There was a real heavy roleplay session last week. I don't think we had any fighting or any combat at all.
We started to Harbin Wester, and we kind of figured out that he didn't really know the depth of what the Red Brand were doing. Is that right?
He came
across as kind of scared, but not necessarily doing anything illegal.
I think it was more a case of that. He kind of did know what was going on, but he wasn't in a position or to do anything about it. I don't think he was bribed. He was more threatened. Like he couldn't do anything about it, and he didn't want to go the same way as the woodcarver. Yeah. Basically, so he was more paranoid of, he didn't want to set you guys on him despite Sildar suggesting it. He didn't, because he didn't want to put his neck on the line if it went wrong, that he would be the fault guy, it's why he tried to, tried to just give you a job to get you out of town a couple of weeks back. Yeah. One of our sessions with those orcs up at Wyvern Tor.
It's
just a bit of a weasel, a spineless weasel, really.
Yeah.
I knew he was when we met him.
We stole the goblin's shoes.
And we got two pairs of shoes, didn't we?
Two pairs of shoes, Harbin's shoes and the goblin's shoes,
The Doddy or something, wasn't it?
Is the goblin still attached to my back?
No, I think, I don't know, if you want to still carry him.
Well, I thought it could be kind of like that. It'd be like my part of my class. Like I've got a goblin attacking my back.
Like you're familiar from Mad Max 3.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he'd be happy for you to carry him around in a baby Bjorn if that's what you want to do.
If he fights for us, he's good. I can do like a spin. And
today he's got those shoes, so he just can't. He'd rather be carrying him walking around and hurting his feet.
So you have now become Droops this escapes.
Droops this escapes. Yeah, exactly.
What's he done? He's telling us. He said he's going to show us the way.
He knows the way to Craigmore Castle.
Not quite.
He knows the way to the forest, and he said basically, have a look around the forest.
He knows fuck all, basically.
He
wants to find out. He wants to find one of his mates so he can go. Oh, we'll follow him. He's just betting. Yeah. He's edging his bet because he thinks the sun comes out of my arse.
I've promised him 5 gold, so he doesn't.
And he wants his shoes back.
He wants his shoes back.
Yeah, well,
and he really likes Justice.
Yeah,
well, he sees it as Justice is the big scary one that is kind of in his safety.
I was standing next to a dire wolf at the time, I think.
That's true.
No, because Pock had gone down in the fight. So he saw Pock get killed and he saw you kind of save everyone. No, it was you that stood over Millicent and saved her, and you're, this big strapping lad in armor and stuff. So
yeah, nice, the bear.
I think the main player was. Was it Rudolf? Radolf?
Radolf,
whatever his name is.
Yeah, Radolf or Radolf. How you want to pronounce it? R-E-I-D-O-T-H. Radolf.
Yeah, he. I can't remember exactly who he is, but he is currently in the Thunder Tree and can point us the way to the castle.
Yeah, he was a druid, wasn't he?
I should remember that. Yeah,
he is a druid.
He's like a traveling druid type.
Mm.
That the. The woman in the farm pointed us towards him, didn't she?
That's right.
Yeah.
Your mate, Quellin Alderleaf. Yeah, so she said, look, if you're looking for anything, she basically said, when you said about you talking about this castle, she said, if you're looking for something and you don't know where it is, my mate Redoff, wink, wink, my mate, He can he knows the land like the back of his hand. He's a druid, and you know he'll be able to help you. You've just missed him by like 2 days. He was here, but he's gone off to Thunder Tree. And we don't know why he's gone to Thunder Tree, because it's a dead town. No. You know, it's all but destroyed. It's abandoned. But
druids, you always find druids hanging around really strange places,
it's like what cave we do.
Entrances.
Yeah.
So you had the kind of choice between going to Thunder Tree, which you know where that is, but you don't know what's there, or perhaps going and trying to find some wandering goblin kind of patrol and potentially stalking them, tracking them, or even like ambushing them and interrogating them. That's kind of your two choices at the moment. The only two leads that you've got.
Did we decide on Thunder Tree in the end?
I think it was a decision you made last week, but it was very
late. Yeah.
We hadn't actually left town yet. We sort of said we're going to get a night's sleep and then
the idea
restock.
Was that we would follow that path, but keep hold of the goblin, because the two leads we have are Redoth or
after
the goblin. So we keep hold of both leads, follow both of them, basically. Happened. Yeah. So morning was go to Lion Shield. Was it called Lion Shield?
Costa.
Mm-hmm. Costa.
As the adventure goes up in town to see if you can get some potions.
Potions and
health potions. Yeah. I did want to ask you, Luke. Actually, sorry. One quick one. You know when we killed the Nothink and we got the there was a sword and. I don't know if it was when we killed the Nothink or when we found Glassstaff's lair, but we found a scroll, but we never actually looked at what was on the scroll. Do we need to check that out? Would that be wise?
Yeah, I mean, you've got basically a little bit of downtime. So basically where we left off was you guys going to the inn and having a drink and stuff. So if there's anything like that you want to do, then we'll run through that. Yeah, we'll
rather than just
role-playing the whole evening. So yeah, you've got that time of that evening and stuff to look at stuff. So that's...
I want to know what James's sword does.
Yeah, well, I was about to say I want to go through some forms with my sword before bed.
So Evgon, you've got your sword that you wanted to try to attune to as well. Mm. The sword's an easy one. It's the best that you can work out. It's a +1 longsword.
So what does that mean? I'll get a +1 on it?
So you get a +1 to hit, to attack, and a +1 to damage.
Oh, right. So okay.
Yeah. So when you roll your d20 to hit something, you roll your d20 plus whatever the rest of your things are. Let me run through the stuff that you got from the Red Brand Hideout. The scrolls were... There you go, yeah. So there was a scroll in the Nothic's treasure. There was, yeah.
Okay.
So there's loads of coins and stuff. Two potions of healing, which you've already used. And a scroll. I'm not sure if you'd be able to cart to recognize the scroll or not, because none of you are wizards. I'm not quite sure how scrolls work. Whether anybody can just read it and go, does it say in, this is a scroll of, or whether or not you need to be a wizard to read it or not.
Are they certain languages, or is it more of a class thing?
A spell scroll bears the words of a single spell written in a mystic cipher. If the spell is on your class's spell list, you can read the scroll and cast its spell without providing any material components. Otherwise, the scroll is unintelligible. Casting a spell by reading the scroll requires the spell's blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, so I would have to check the spell list to see whether or not you would know it. Let me... So what spellcasters have we got? A
druid, a bard, paladin.
I don't think it's a bard spell at all. Druid spells? Nope. I'm fairly certain it's not going to be a paladin spell. So you don't know. It's you can tell that it's written in the magical cipher, being like doctor's handwriting. It's just this unintelligible scrawl. There's lots of like weird algebraic symbols and stuff on there.
You don't know
what any of it means. You would need to get it taken to some kind of wizard or something to work out.
So it would be worth some coin.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, it would be worth.
Anyone something. Dies, come back as a wizard.
Yeah.
Job done.
basically that's largely it. Last week was just a roleplay one, so you'd cleared out the Red Brand's hideout completely. There was a massive ambush set for you as Glassstaff escaped. A couple of you went down. This was all the week before. Then you found Droop. He fainted, he was scared, he swore it's kind of like a life debt to you. You wandered around in there just to make sure it was empty, and it definitely was. You went back to town. spoke to some people, and that's it. We've covered that, and that's largely it. Yeah. So you were told about going to see if you wanted some horses. Someone mentioned horses. You could possibly rent some from a farmer called Darren Edermath, and potentially you could get yourself a couple of potions from the Lion Shield Costers, as they sell general adventuring gear.
We was also told to speak to Sister someone, but she's not around at the minute.
Sister Garielle. Yeah.
That's it. I can't remember who she is or who told us it.
Yeah, Sister Garielle is the cleric in the town from the Shrine of Luck. And yeah, no one's seen her in a little while.
Side quest shit.
Potentially.
Yeah. You gave me some inspiration before we finished last week. How long does that last?
Until you use it.
Okay, awesome.
Mm-hmm. So before we get into the action, we have all leveled up as well. So do you want to talk about level three? I think Pock, as a druid, you don't get much at third because you get your core subclass at second.
Yeah, all my core animal stuff I've already got. Some good new spells, though.
Yeah.
I've equipped myself with Pass Without a Trace.
Cool.
And Misty Step, which should be fun.
Which one's we?
Misty Step.
Oh, yeah, cool. Like the short range poofiness, smoke teleport.
Poofiness. Yeah.
Poofiness, cool. but for the rest of you, you got to pick your subclasses. I did already introduce you as we discussed probably about a month back now. We started.
Yeah, a while back, yeah.
Did you go for, I'm assuming you went for the swashbuckler?
I went for
the
swashbuckler, yes, I did.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. So yeah, I got some good little bits on that, yeah.
So the great thing about the swashbuckler, they're more of a fight build than the kind of thief or assassin type.
Yeah.
So the great thing with them is you no longer need to use your bonus action, your cunning action, to disengage. So if you can step into combat and make an attack, and then you get to...
slip away without reprisal, apparently.
Yeah, basically slip away without incurring that opportunity attack. So that whole class is built around that two weapon fighting we've discussed before. So it frees up your bonus action because you don't need that cunning action anymore, which means you can step in, make two attacks, and then slip out again. The other great thing about it is you also don't... Normal rogues have to either have advantage on the attack roll or have an ally basically within 5 feet or 5 feet of the enemy that you're attacking to get that sneak attack damage. But with the swashbucklers, you don't. You get that sneak attack even if you're the only person. So if you're fighting someone one-on-one, you still get the sneak attack bonus, which is great. So basically, you're now getting that sneak attack every attack.
Nice.
Yeah, so you turn into a real damage dealer. Other than that, I don't think there's much special about the swashbuckler at third.
Just the rakish audacity, which is you can add your charisma modifier to your initiative rolls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, make sure you've got that penciled on your sheet because you get a nice boost to your initiative for that. Who wants to go next?
Me.
Go on then.
Oh, go on.
Go on, Escape. So you get to pick your oath as a paladin. So what oath have you gone for?
Well, I swore an oath to Erdlan, who's the god of greed and stuff. God of greed and stuff, yeah. I can't remember what the actual name of the class is, but it's basically the defense one.
Right. I thought you was looking at going to, Vengeance, wasn't it? Was it on that one?
Yeah, I think it could be. I'm not really sure. I know that I can tell you what I got from it, though, because I've got my channel divinity, which is basically the action that comes with it. So, which is my oath allows me to fuel magical effects with it. Got a couple of cool moves with it. I've got one, which is basically a kind of slow. It's a kind of, you know, a slowdown for enemies. So if someone's running and is castable with 60 foot. And the other thing I got, which was nice, which was a vow of enmity, which is as a bonus action, you can use your channel divinity to choose a creature within 10 foot and gain advantage on attack rolls for 1 minute.
Oh, nice. So, 10 rounds.
Yeah, exactly. And that coupled with the Hunter's Mark, which is one of the new spells I've got.
Yay, nice.
Which is a really nice one that when an enemy dies, you can transfer the spell onto the next enemy. So it's like...
Nice.
Yeah.
There's a good... it's a ranger trait, which is similar, which they can... It's a cantrip, I think they get, where they can... Hunter's Mark, I think it's called. And they do the same thing. You can mark somebody, and that gives you just advantage and stuff. And then when they die, you
move. Exactly,
yeah. It's a good trait.
Yeah, it gives you advantage on all throws against them, yeah.
Yeah.
James, between me and you, I think... Some of my spells work really nicely with yours.
Yeah.
Like I've got a few that hold people.
Nice.
That fairy fire that gives advantage, entangle.
Oh, gives advantage to
so
you.
Those two with a couple of yours. I think we might be all right.
Cool.
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, we've got a Millicent then.
And then, yeah.
So which bardish archetype did you go? A college, isn't it? Which college did you go for?
I don't know that I picked one, honestly. Let me have a look.
That's a damn. Did you go for, I can't remember what they all are. I've not played a barge, but it's like.
So what, at level 3 I get to choose an archetype? I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's called a college. So you pick which college of bargery you belong to.
Oh, maybe I did. Hold on. Maybe I did. Oh, college. Sorry, I did. Yeah, College of Love.
Of Love. Aww. Aww.
No, College of Law.
Law. Okay.
I was going to say that sounds like the shittest advantage in this game.
I don't know what it means at all, but College of Law. Oh, I think that might be something to do with the investigation.
So that's where you get your say. Yeah, it says here, I've got it in front of me. So, Bards of the College of Law know something about most things, collecting bits of knowledge from sources as diverse as scholarly tomes and peasant tales. Whether singing folk ballads or in taverns or elaborate compositions in royal courts, these bards use their gifts to hold audiences spellbound. When the applause dies down, the audience members might find themselves questioning everything they held to be true, from their faith in the priesthood of the local temple to their loyalty to the king. So you're a politician. You're
Yeah, so I chose that because I get to bump 3 stats and I got cutting words as well.
That's right, yeah. So you've
got fucking awesome
proficiency in an extra 3 skills and cutting words.
What's the cutting words?
Cutting words is as a reaction when a creature that's not immune to being charmed that I can see within 60 feet makes an attack roll, ability check, or damage roll, I can expend 1 bardic inspiration to reduce that creature's roll.
Ooh.
So I can say, right, roll a d6 and take that off your roll. So, but also, as an RP point, it's basically me saying something so nasty to them that they whiff their shot, which is... That sounds really funny to me.
Yeah,
like vicious mockery, in terms of gameplay, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's like vicious mockery, but in the moment, in the actual action. So it sounds fun. Sorry, I'd forgotten. We leveled up so long ago.
It literally was about a month ago that we thought. Oh, I said to you guys, right, you're going to be leveling up next session, and then that one session turned into like a 3-week combat.
Yeah,
we're very thorough.
Okay, all right. So was there anything else you wanted to know that you guys, you know, any kind of background information that you guys may have been discussing in character sort of throughout the evening that you kind of want to montage through?
Yeah, I found out I was talking to Pock, sitting having a drink and a thing, and I found out that he actually used to work in Neverwinter at an orphanage.
I did. I left Thunder Tree after the collapse and the volcano going off. And I went and taught an orphanage for 30 years in Neverwinter.
And it turns out,
I know, it turns out Scapes was one of my students many moons ago. I've no idea how old Pock is. Not really.
I think I was kind of like about 4 to 7. So it's kind of foggy in my memory. But you know,
me too.
I do remember him. And we have a little talk about people who used to be there, and talk about you know, lame Trappist with his dodgy leg and love of pancakes or whatever. I don't know. So yeah, so now I trust him more. I trust him now.
Excellent.
I trust him now.
Yeah.
I don't get to pay taxes. I forgot about that.
There you go. You get off.
I think what I remember, Luke gave us the opportunity to talk about it on the way to Phandalin once we all got in the horse and cart, and we just completely ignored
it. Totally banked it.
Yeah.
Just like
we spent the whole journey looking at each other at the corner of our eyes going, I swear I know you.
I know that geezer.
Also, actually, on that note, now I remember my backstory and what happened in Thunder Tree. The reason I left Thunder Tree was because there was a plague of zombies. Probably worth mentioning, because I don't know how long zombies hang around for.
Well, yeah.
Oh. Mm. 30, how long ago was it you were there? 30 years?
I went to teach in Neverwinter for 30 years. I mean, I don't know if this works out, because this is just what I've made up. So this could be wrong in terms of the lore of D&D.
Against undeads, I'm pretty shit hot. So
that you are.
Okay.
It would... might be worth asking before we leave if anyone has heard of anything coming from Thunder Tree.
Like, yeah, what do you know about Thunder Tree? I'll give you some background information.
This is providing I'm correct.
Yeah, no, that's, that was a good thing to tell us.
Got it.
Yeah.
Oh, I literally, yeah, Thunder Tree, there's zombies there.
I just read it on my character sheet and I went, oh, probably best mention that.
You're going to get there and you're going to be like, oh, shit, I didn't mention it.
Oh, yes, zombies.
Yeah, so basically it comes back to the overall adventure kind of background story. One of the things that's mentioned in the intro, I think, about 30 years ago, this area of the world went to shit when Mount Hopenow, which is just north of the, or inside, but just north inside the Neverwinter Forest, it's been dormant for centuries, maybe longer. It just randomly erupted. No one saw it come. No one knew it was going to happen. The tremors that it sent out through the area basically all but destroyed Neverwinter, opened up a massive cavern inside Neverwinter to the Abyss and the Underdark underneath. Destroyed half of the town, killed the royal family, and fucked shit up. And so Neverwinter, which used to be known as the Jewel of the North, is now only just recovering as Lord Neverember, who is currently the open Lord of Waterdeep from the south, has come up. He has basically traced his lineages back to an ancient king of Neverwinter, which is why his name is Neverember, because it's a branch off of the family line, and he's now running a relief mission up there to kind of build it back up. But also at the same time, Thunder Tree, which was a small village really just on the outskirts of the Neverwinter Forest, was completely destroyed. Massive ash cloud just overran it and choked out the town from the eruption, and a lot of people left. But then following that, what the ash cloud also brought with it was a plague of undead, of zombies, basically strange zombies. So anybody that wasn't kind of killed were all kind of ran off to Neverwinter. And then from there, most people from Neverwinter all went south, basically, and pilgrimaged off because it wasn't safe up there. The people that remained, who were true, you know, kind of loyal to the town and the city, rather, stuck behind, like your characters, basically, we decided were all kind of true, kind of stuck around in Neverwinter to help, you know, the relief mission over the past 30 years. You know, Bird worked for the mercenaries that were kind of there. Millicent grew up there on the whatever, doing escapes as well. And then Pock was running the orphanage and stuff like that. And it's only now that Neverim has come back and he's brought with him an official force. You guys have all been kind of left out of a job. There's no need for you anymore, which is why you started this adventure, was because now you're no longer needed in Neverwinter. You've been put out of a job by Neverember and his forces. So you went on this jaunty. So yeah, you would absolutely know. You would have been one of the survivors of Thunder Tree that was just pushed out by this plague of zombies.
So the question is whether it remains in that state, or whether what Lord Never remember. it's a Take That song, isn't it? Remember. No. Whether he's had a bit of a tidy up and a sort out.
If his efforts have come down this far, basically.
Yeah. What was... I'm trying to find the name. Radoff. What was his job? Do we really get much description as to...
He's kind of, if you're familiar with the Tolkien, sort of Middle-earth and Lord of the Rings world at all...
Nope.
have you seen the Hobbit films? I know they were crap, but have you seen them?
No, unfortunately not.
All right, so basically, he's a druid. So, but he...
If you could relate any characters in the future just to The Office, that would be great.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Sean will get that.
The problem with that is that I've only ever watched like one episode of The Office, and I never liked it. However, I do remember from...
It's still Martin Freeman, I suppose.
GCSE science, I do remember, Sean, that you did a wicked impersonation of Ricky Gervais and the dance that he did.
I think I did it in our drama play. We did bounces together. Actually, I think I crammed it in bounces.
Anyway, okay, so basically his job is, he's just a wanderer. He looks after the land, so he's kind of just making sure that everything, or that nature remains in balance, really. That's his main job. So
he could be on some sort of relief mission himself, or
it's a bit like Chris Packham.
I had to think for a second.
I really hope that we meet him and he rolls his R's. Please let him roll his R's.
That's not hard. Because
I've got way off.
I've got a funny R anyway.
I was going to skip it because that anyway.
Life.
I think your luck might be in, Lise.
I just have to do my best kind of like... Jonathan Ross impression. Well, funny eyes.
Wibble wobble. Oh,
and weed off.
Weed off.
Weed off. Hi, guys.
I love that. That's amazing.
Amazing.
Right. So, I don't know if that changes our plan, but I mean, it sounds interesting.
Well, we want to get horses, don't we?
We're going our own way.
Potions and horses, please.
Cool. Yeah, let's go to... Yeah, where are we going first?
Okay, so the morning comes about. You have a night of drinking and celebrating. You're kind of heroes in the town. The few remaining red brands that hadn't been wiped out, you left some kind of tied up and stuff. But when everyone went looking for them, that they've gone. The reports that people saw them kind of just of literally running out of town.
Sweet.
Yeah, so everyone's a little bit concerned about that, but they're going to hold an emergency town meeting. The Lion Shield Costa is going to... because there's also the weapons cache that you guys found underneath the Chester Manor.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's kind of... they've kind of taken that on, not to sell, but they're going to supply town and train up, because that's what the Lion Shield Costas do, is they supply mercenaries and stuff with equipment. So they're going to help train Halia Thornton, I think her name was, that runs the Miners Exchange. You know, she's got contacts as well. So she said, right, you know, look, she works for an organization, you know, and she's got contacts with all of the miners and prospectors and everything in the area. So she's going to get, she's going to get some people to come in to And again, it's exactly what the Lords Alliance, what Sildar, and what Iano was originally supposed to have done, was set up a military presence in the town to keep it protected. So they're going to sort all of that out. You spend the night kind of partying, drinking, resting up, kind of nursing your wounds. Morning comes around, I suppose. So where do you go?
Should we grab the potions first?
Yeah, can we get these on Greta? Like, we done them the right lemon, didn't we, really? Like, surely we should get these horses and these potions for free.
I don't disagree, but I'm just going to say that Sildar gave us a bunch of cash.
He did.
To fund his journey.
That's our cash.
One second.
Okay.
Yeah.
No comment.
We could just intimidate these people into giving us their fucking horses. But
we need to go back into the place we had like just the worst time. The Lion Shield Costa. That's where the potions are, is that right?
Yes.
Like, we've already wound them up by trying to blackmail them. No, or hold hostage their own gear.
Thank you very much.
Millicent did it. Millicent tried to blackmail him.
No, that's not what happened. I'm going to wait outside.
No, cool. We'll pay for stuff and stuff.
Okay. So
that's less of the chaotic, more of the good for a bit.
Cool.
Okay.
So you get up in the morning, you have your breakfast and stuff, and you head down to the Lion Shield Costa, which is just the bottom of the town square, basically opposite the inn where you're at, across the square. When it opens, you know, open sort of mid-morning, and they're doing, you know, they're counting stock of all of the equipment they've got from Chessington Manor, and you can see already there's a small posse of people out there who are trying out equipment, and there's a few people there who are kind of showing them basic moves and things like that. So it's a very small bit of training going on in the kind of courtyard just outside there. She sees you come over, and she's like, heroes of the hour, what can I do for you this morning?
What are your shoes like?
Lilies be your trainers.
She's wearing sort of like a medium type armor, so she's the kind of stuff that you would wear under plate mail, if you know what I mean. So she's got like thick leather on and stuff like that, and she's got like leather braces and stuff around, but she's just got some kind of good old medieval boots. If you
I don't think we're going to be stealing these at the moment.
Nah, let's not steal these. Potions. How many? You got any healing potions, love?
healing potions.
Yeah. Did I start?
not the kind of thing that I would normally deal with. Deal more with arms and things like that. You'd really want to talk to Sister Gariel, but she's not been here for a while. Let me see. I might have a couple, but they're not. They'll be for my personal stock. Let me go and have a look out back.
We'll reward you handsomely for them.
She's tapping.
Oh, sorry, that's me, because that's me getting into character.
Are you doing character? Sorry.
Yeah, kind of like, sorry.
It is tapping, actually. is that just me? Or is that...
so, yeah, she pops back into her shop and then she comes out. She comes back out and she's got these two potions. This is here. I normally don't sell these. As I say, this is more for kind of personal use. You never know what's going to happen around here. But
we sorted that problem out, though, so.
That you did. And yeah. The town apparently does owe you a debt of favor. So and I've been thinking about our last interaction as well, and you said about you came across some of my wares in a cave.
We did.
Perhaps if you could just mark that on a map for me, and I'm going to get some people to go and investigate. And then what I'll do for you, as you have done us all a favor here in Phandalin, I'll allow you to have these at cost instead of a full retail price that another shop would charge you.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
And how much is that?
Well, I mean, I paid 50 gold pieces for these.
50 gold pieces?
Each.
Each? Yes. You got mugged off.
To be fair, it's the going price of a healing potion. That's what I paid for it. I'm not making any profit from this. I'm letting you have this because you've... Mm.
I didn't realise it was so expensive.
Yeah, and how many do you have still? Just the two. Is there any way...
You don't need them, usually.
Is there anyone that could possibly... that works with Sister... whatchamacallit? Maybe we could still access some of her... potions?
No, so she brews them herself. She's the only cleric in the town. She brews them herself, but she nobody really knows. She just disappeared about 10 days ago.
How much money have we got?
We've got 414 gold, 310 silver, and 627 copper. Loads. So we're flush.
We've got to get horses too.
10 silver to a gold, 10 copper to a silver. So 100 copper to a gold. And 10 silver to a gold, so you're minted.
Okay. Let's take him.
We've got friend.
So who was it that got all shocked at the price? That was Skates, wasn't it?
Me.
Roll me a persuasion.
Minus 9.
Did it roll it?
Nope.
Yeah, 9. Oh.
Three
total.
The second one, I got a natural 20. Got clicked it twice by accident.
You got a natural one and then a natural 20.
Did he get advantage by any chance?
Wow. shame that doesn't count for nothing.
Yeah, I think just your rude tone was a little bit shocking, and you did kind of piss her off yesterday as well, guys. So she looks at you and she was like, that's how much I paid for them. I mean, if it's how much you'd pay in a shop, I'm not trying to rip you off. If you don't want them, then fine. I appreciate everything.
Don't make the intimidation check you. check your privilege. We should pay for these.
Done.
Knock 100 gold off and give yourselves 2.
100 gold off and get 2 healing potions.
I nearly used charm person then.
You could have done.
Think about hitting away spells during game roleplay.
Does anyone particularly want to?
We've got the money. We don't not stuck, are we? I suppose.
To be fair, it's a common complaint with 5th edition D&D. There's very little to spend your money on, so you might as well
spend it while we can.
Yeah.
We're going to be dead soon anyway.
That's the spirit.
So, does anyone particularly want
to token for new?
If only you could trade your in-game gold in for D&D Beyond books.
Your character traits and subclasses.
As I say,
does anyone in particular want to have a healing potion?
No, I think you might as well keep hold of them, eh? And we all got some heal.
Any particular equipment that you guys one. So when your characters have all got the basic starting
all bearings
in terms of
ball bearings.
Yeah.
Is there any bags of got any bags of ball bearings? Because they come in notoriously handy in other adventures. Okay.
Basically, we'll montage some shopping. If you can't get something here, you can get it from Barthen's Provisions. Barthen's Provisions basically sells everything that's in the kind of shopping list in the book up to a value of 25 gold pieces. So yes, you can probably get some ball bearings. It's just a case of working out the cost, which I doubt is much.
And Barthen's not going got any extra healing potions, has he?
No, only up to 25 gold pieces, so he doesn't
sell. Cheap ones.
I think weapons wise there's not much going on my end.
No,
I'm quite happy with what I've got weapons wise.
So
just spell components and shit.
You get ball bearings, you get a bag of 1,000 ball bearings for a gold piece.
Wow.
Oh yeah, we'll have a bag of that. Okay.
I was thinking in terms of your weapon and armour. You know, I don't know how much, you know, did you want to upgrade any of that? Like, if you've just got basic leather, did you want to upgrade to, studded or anything?
Where
like
is
that?
The armour on the sheet?
So,
can I upgrade?
If you've got the money for it.
Why not?
Well, what would I upgrade to? Because I'm already wearing quite
You're wearing
heavy
a chain,
armor.
Yeah?
I mean, this is like the scene in Pretty Woman where she goes shopping.
I'll
wait for this.
So it depends on what you want.
They tell you you're not good enough for studded metal armor.
As long as you're proficient.
I'm wearing chainmail.
You're wearing chainmail, so that gives you...
AC 16, strength 13, and stealth. Crap stealth.
Yeah, so you're wearing chainmail, which is armor class 16. From there, you've got splint mail for 200. So splint mail will give you an AC of 17.
Is that worth it to us, guys? Because once I've got that, I've got an armor class of 20.
What's your...
Is that worth it, really? Because I've got 19.
Have you got 19? You should only have 18.
No, because I've got a shield, haven't I?
Yeah, that gives you plus 2. So if you're wearing chain mail, that's 16, plus 2 is 18.
Mm. Well, it's saying I've got 19. On here, there must be a reason for it.
Unless you're
wearing. Let's have a look. Oh, here we go. Armor bonus. Oh, for my fighting style, I get one.
You get plus one for your fighting style. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Where do I find out what armor I'm
what's
wearing?
What's your dexterity modifier, Scapes?
Equipment.
My dex. Oh, it's crap, I think. Let me see.
I think it's. Is it just leather? It just says leather.
Minus one.
Oh, leather armor.
Okay,
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't benefit because you might have benefited from going down to medium armor. Because with medium armor, you get a lower AC, but then you get to add on a dex bonus. So you could actually work out higher. But no. So yeah, I mean, you can go 200 gold pieces would only give you a plus one. That's whether you.
Yeah, I don't know if it's worth our money, is it?
No.
Really?
Anybody else, depending on what you've got already?
I'd like to look at armor.
So what?
Is the armor?
So you need to be proficient in it. So it should be on your character sheet in your equipment.
Yeah. I've got armor proficiencies, light, semicolon, medium, semicolon, shields.
Cool,
that means
you're proficient in shields, medium armor, and light armor. So at the moment, you're probably wearing basic leather.
I think it just says leather in my treasure or equipment list.
That's the one. So again, that would give you your basic AC is 11 plus your dexterity modifier, but you could upgrade... hide armor, so hide armor is 12 plus dex. You can get a chain shirt for 13 plus dex, scale mail even, which is 14 plus dex, but you would get disadvantage on stealth rolls. So there's some options there for you. It depends on how much you want.
I'm a 13 at the minute, so how much is the... What was the second one you said?
So
it was like
a chainmail, just a shirt rather than a full suit. A chainmail shirt with 50 gold pieces, and it will give you an AC of 13 plus your dexterity modifier.
So 15 total.
The only thing, and I just want to check the... This is going to be a fantastic podcast episode. I do apologize. But I think there is something in the classes for druids. I don't know if you're allowed to wear metal armor based on your class.
I'm not. No, you're right. Sorry. I'm... No metal.
It's like QVC D&D.
I'll put the QVC theme under
The Zirconian.
Yeah, that's it. So druids will not wear armor or use shields made of metal. So you can't get these. You could get hide. No. So that would give you... So hide armor gives you 12 plus your dex. So I think at the moment you're running at 11 plus dex. So hide will give you 12 plus dex. So I'll give you an extra one.
An extra point. How much is that?
10 gold pieces.
Oh, it's nothing.
We can afford it.
Getting all right. Just to give me another point.
Throw it. Makes you look so slim.
Yeah, it's really good on you. It makes you look taller.
Yeah, and I don't seem to have any armor written down in my equipment.
You should have.
I am armor proficiency is light, so
yeah, it's just light.
Yeah,
because you're a rogue.
I don't have anything.
Find
in
your
there.
Original character.
Go for it. I can't find anything in the equipment page. Leather armor. Okay.
Yeah. So.
So what, can I upgrade or?
If you're only proficient in light weapons, crossbow, yeah. armor proficiency is light, then you've got you could go up to studded leather, which will give you 12 plus your dex.
That's, kinky.
That's 45 gold pieces, though.
Do you guys mind if I get some sexy studded leather armor?
Stay alive a little bit longer. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Can I have some studded leather armor as well?
Absolutely. Can another 45, but you can have that as well.
So, might as well. There isn't really much to spend your money on, is there?
No, exactly.
No, definitely. Yeah.
What did I get?
You went for the hide armor, which gives you a new AC of 12 plus your dexterity modifier to a maximum of plus 2. So if your dex is. Yeah, so you'll be running at 14 now.
Okay, so what am I running at now, Luke? Sorry.
Studied there, but 12 plus your dexterity modifier. And there's no cap on that one. So if you've got a dexterity modifier of plus 4, then you would get 12 plus 4. So it all depends on your dex mod.
5.
And shut up, you've got plus 5 dex.
Somewhere up there. I don't think you'll be able to do it.
Seven.
It says dexterity plus 5.
Plus 3. Dexterity, you've got a dexterity of 17, which gives you plus 3.
Where am I looking, sorry?
You're looking at your saving throw.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking at the saving throw.
Next to that on the left, there's dexterity, big number, 17, and then plus 3. So, yeah, with your studded lever, that would give you an AC of 15.
AC of 15, okay. It's not much better, but hey,
even one point is worth it, man. Yeah, that price.
Exactly.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Those numbers that you just said down the side, the big numbers with the little pluses in them.
Yes.
Do they ever change when we level up?
They can. So I think it's fourth level. You'll get a fourth level. You get the opportunity to put them up.
Cool. Okay.
What about I allowed you to basically to take weapons for free last week from the cash that you found. So, if there's anything there you wanted, you can do so. Or any other kind of things at all? Anything particular that you think might come in handy? You should all have your basic packs, which will contain ropes and things like that. But
yeah.
Yeah,
I think I'm good.
So you potter around town for a little bit. So Lynine, whatever her face is, the line should cost her. She sorts you out at the studded level, but when it comes to the hide, she's like, "Oh, not really kind of thing that I deal with." But I tell you what, if you head over to the Tanner just around the corner, we've got like a hunter and stuff in town. His name is Frederick. He'll sort you out. You know, he'll be able to sort you out some stuff down there. And you head down there, and he's like this weird, bit of a weird job, isn't it? Really, a tanner, like a hunter, a tanner, like somebody whose entire livelihood is around skinning and drying out animals.
Smelling
skins. And it stinks a bit, you know. And according to horrible histories, they used to tan in shit.
In piss.
Piss poor. That's where the phrase piss poor comes from. If you're piss poor, it's because you used to sell your piss to the local tanners. So it proper stinks in there, but you go in and he kind of fits you out. And he's like, I can get you some levers. And he goes, we'll just strap one around here. And he kind of measures it around you and just gives you some stitches and stuff. And it's like, if you're in there for about an hour while he just kind of fits you up and stuff. And you're only little as well, so it doesn't take too long to do that.
Does he cup when he goes up the left leg?
He does, yeah. As he comes
up. So his tail did a bad thing.
Yeah, brilliant. And then, so what's next? You want to go see Darren Edemath?
GGs.
Yeah, brilliant. So Darren Edemath lives just on the outskirts of town. He's got an orchard, and like a farmer, an orchard. And basically, he also rears horses as well. He makes it like a bit on the side because, again, like prospectors and miners who come here, they hire horses from him to go into the town and stuff like that. So when you walk up there and find him, let me just see if there's anything interesting.
Oh, we should have bought horse food. Oh, we can get it from him.
Yeah, that's fine. It will be included in there. Yeah, so when you go up there, he's basically that you can see people in the field kind of like picking the apples and kind of running around, and then there's a couple of people like cleaning out stables and things, and he's just kind of directing people and stuff like that. And he sees you coming up. Ha ha! You must be the local adventurers who have come to town and saved the day from those horrible red brands. Well met, Darren Edermath, at your service.
Lovely to meet you, Darren Edermath. we are in the market for some your finest horses to get us all the way to Thunder Tree.
Ah,
please.
Well, it's a long way to go. Thunder Tree, eh? What's up there these days? That town's been desolate for about 3 decades now.
Oh,
I was part of the relief up there when it all went to all hell up there. I was part of the relief force back in my old adventuring days myself with the Order of the Gauntlet. What takes you up there?
Do you happen to know if the zombies are still there?
Oh, they were scary. Not like any kind of zombies that I'd have ever seen. There's all burnt and scarred, which of course is not to be, you know, if how the body dies and gets resurrected. But the strangest thing about them, of course, is that when you attack them, when you fought them, they themselves turn to ash, just disintegrated. And I tell you what, you be careful you don't get any of that on you. You will not like the effects. But
what are the effects?
just makes you a bit unwell.
Fucking cryptic.
Oh, okay. What I remember.
All right. I was going to say, there's no time for ambiguity. Like,
anyway, are they still there? Well, I don't know. I imagine their food source must have died out years ago, unless they were, you know, just eating on wildlife. But 30 years, zombies, unless they're slain, go on forever, I suppose. Perhaps best to tread carefully anyway. Neverwinter Woods is dangerous areas anyway.
Well, you didn't do too well then back in the day, but that's not a problem. Horses.
Yes.
Can we have some?
Yeah,
absolutely. can. yes. Horses. So, yeah, I can hire them for you. Absolutely. Let me just have a look in the old player's handbook here, see if I can find out a price for you. yes. But definitely we can come to some kind of arrangement. I am sure they cannot be that expensive. Okay, so what kind of thing you're looking for? A donkey or mule to carry a load? Or
riding
horse? Fortunately, no war horses up here, but a pony perhaps for the little one. Yes, I've got some of them. Unfortunately, no elephants or camels.
How much for four courses?
We'll have a few riding horses, please.
Let's have a look. Let's just have a look at this. A horse, just a rising horse, it says, is, I reckon, 75 gold pieces.
Oh, that's not so bad. Have we got that?
Buy one.
Yeah, we've...
It seems a lot, doesn't it? Because 70 gold, 5 gold pieces is actually a lot of fucking money, but I can't feed.
Oh, is that to buy or hire?
Yeah, that's what I suppose
you have a finance option. do you?
Really need a horse? I mean, he's tiny.
Well, I can be a horse, is the other thing. I could be a horse and take one of us.
You could be a horse.
So we technically just need to buy two horses, providing we short rest before anything kicks off.
That's what, 150?
Yeah. So, yeah, for two horses. We'll say, because that does seem like a bit, quite a lot.
Yeah, if we're buying four, like, we should get a discount anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you can...
Just in case Pock wants to talk, you know.
We just put a deposit down and get the money back at the end.
So I would say probably to rent, it's going to be a lot less than that. So we'll call it... I don't know. I mean, how long will you be renting? Would you like to hire these horses for?
Oh, a couple of days.
Yeah, we could be gone. We could be gone. Anything up to a couple of days.
Just nipping around the block.
Yeah. But
no, I mean, all seriously, yeah, I mean, probably going to be, you know, 2-3 weeks.
Right. Okay. Well, there's a deposit just in case you don't come back. That's the thing, you know. So we'll call it 20 gold pieces deposit per horse. Then a gold piece per day up front to go on top of that as well. So if you're going to say, I tell you what, how many horses do you want?
10 days?
Two horses, did you say?
Yeah, am I being a horse? Is that what we're doing?
You can only wild check for an hour, for 2 hours a day, per short rest.
That's a good point.
So, and just in case we get ambushed and stuff.
Yeah, well, I would say that.
Let's fuck that up.
It's under a one, isn't it?
Yeah, so if we say, if you take the deposit for... I'll do you a deal. Three horses, an even 50 gold pieces deposit instead of the 60. And then if you want a 10-day on the horses, then you can take a gold piece a day per horse. So that would be an extra 30 gold on top. So 80 gold. But what you, of course, is if you bring the horses back early, yeah, is that right?
It's free.
Yeah, then if you bring the horses back early, of course, then you get the deposit back, and I'll also give you back the difference as well. So if you only have them for 5 days, that's fine.
Well, we're only getting three horses then. What's that? Pock's going to jump on the back?
No, four horses.
Oh, right. Oh, brilliant.
That's for four. Good. Yeah, he's been charging us for three.
Oh, excellent. What a nice young man. Or old man.
A lovely guy. I think that's
I calculated
deal.
That
that's
completely fine. Wrong because I was only assuming the three are the three. So
well, that's fine. We'll take it. Deal. Charles Shaky Tab. Good man.
Yeah, we'll call it 80 gold pieces up front. And if you bring them back early, then you can have the difference as well.
Okay.
Beautiful.
80 gold pieces. Okay.
Yeah. Mark that off. But so 60 of that is just a deposit that you'll get back.
So
no, sorry, 50 of that. 50 of that is deposit that you get back, and then 30 is for the rental, and if for 10 days, and if you bring it back early, then you'll get a refund.
Get that back. Yeah. Okay.
I reckon we could sell them for 50 each.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can say, can't we? I mean, we could just come back and run this guy through. So don't worry.
In worst case scenario, we'll just kill him.
Yeah.
I'm saying this after we've left.
Yeah. Just running through our head.
Did any of you want to roll some kind of history check on?
I was about to ask him if he knew anything of Radoff as well. If that's where you were going with that.
That funny little fella, he comes into town every now and then, always comes, pops in, talks to the horses, and literally, I mean, talk to the horses, neighs at them and everything. Found a funny fellow, no. Hey, he's all right, good friend, a good fellow, but no, much more than that, no, not really, but I think he means well. Yeah. A five history, Millicent. Nothing, that's fine. So, anybody else want to roll history for me? Oh, it's lovely. So just because earlier on he mentioned the Order of the Gauntlet that he used to be a part of, just for your own benefit. Yeah. The Order of the Gauntlet is a devout and vigilant group that seeks to protect others from the depredations of evildoers. The Order is always vigilant, ready to smite evil, enforce justice, and enact retribution against any who try to subjugate or harm others. They're basically a famous order of knights, to be fair, as well. Is they're kind of like who you call in when there's real evil shit going down and you can't take care of yourself.
Well, I don't suppose you still have any contact yourself with this Order of the Gauntlet that you spoke of a little while ago. Are you still a member? Are you still in touch with the old boys?
Yep. I've got some stories to tell you, absolutely. Am I still a member? Technically, yeah, an honorary member, of course. I mean, it's an oath that you swear for life, but if they ever called on me, of course, I would do my duty, but I've done my fair share adventuring in my time.
How would we go about enlisting their help? Yeah, sorry, go on.
Sorry, I was just going to do a sneaky insight check to make sure he wasn't bullshitting.
Yeah, bragging.
Because he's like out in the middle of nowhere, he could just be saying shit.
Are you proficient in... No, you're not at a plus one, are you?
No.
Okay. Is anybody proficient in insight?
Yes, I am.
No. Intelligent wisdom. Yeah.
Do you want me to roll it?
No, just tell me what your score is if you're proficient in it.
It's plus three.
Yeah, so you would have a natural 13 anyway, which is no better. Okay. So with a 13, you seem like, is he on the up and up? Not an old man, you know, he's in his 60s, like, but, you know, he's still very well, you know, very fit for his age. You know, he's kind of that, kind of thing of a good representation for him, from a movie.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I was just about to say that.
No, probably not.
Oh, you really?
I'm thinking more.
Yeah,
more
I just
like,
want a friend's episode in a minute.
The guy who's in. I think the only thing I can think of that he's in is the Roundhouse, Patrick Swayze. He's kind of like mentor, the old dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Roadhouse.
Yeah.
Wait, Patrick Swayze is very young in Roadhouse.
Not Patrick Swayze, his mentor, his mate, no. Who's like grey, oh. Silver. He's a silver fox and he's been silver for like 30 years.
Oh, the guy with the tash.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah,
basically. So he looks good for his age, you know.
Does he look a little bit like the guy in the meme?
In the what?
Never mind. Sorry.
I know what you mean. Well, balls out the bath on this one, but I don't suppose you fancy one last adventure, do you? We could definitely use the help of you and your order at some point along there. We're off to defeat the Black Spider, and I've heard he's quite a nice, nasty bastard.
The Black Spider sounds like a villain worthy of any quest, but no, alas, no. As I say, my adventuring days are over, but I mean, if there is trouble about, I will always, you know, if I feel it's worthy, then I will report back. But unfortunately, there's no mobile telephones in this world, so I or Facebook, you know, so I would have to write by hand and send that by Raven, so it would take
a few days
for anyone to get back. But certainly, I will definitely take that on board and perhaps put some feelings out there. But thank you very much.
Is there a particular place where the Order of the Gauntlet like resides or works from?
Well, wherever there's trouble.
Excellent.
Wherever there's a shadow looming and evil to be sought out and destroyed.
Okie doke.
Cool. Well, shall we head to Thunderfall?
Fuck off. Yeah.
Cool. All right, so you set off. You faffed around in the morning, so it's probably, you know, just gone midday.
By the way, I was talking about the I don't always meme.
Yeah, kind of, yeah, I suppose, yeah. Different guy, but a similar kind of look. Yeah, absolutely.
Like silver kind of like old dude.
Yeah,
guy was in the film about the guy who killed Hitler and the Yeti or something.
That sounds insane.
Like, is that the same film?
Literally, it came out last year and it was like the weirdest title for a film. And it sounds like it should have been amazing, but apparently it was shit.
Let me find his name. That's IMDb. Okay. I think most recently he's in like a sitcom on Netflix with the guy from that 70s show, whatever his fucking name is.
That's it. The Man That Killed Hitler and Then Bigfoot. That's the name of the film.
Ah, yeah. That does ring a bell.
Yeah,
actually.
Sam Elliott. That's the guy.
That's the guy. Yeah, that's the guy. It's...
Oh.
With a title like that.
Sam Elliott. I'm not going to, like, literally.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he's looked like that for 30 years. He just hasn't aged.
I think the only other film I've seen him is a film called Blue Jean Cop back in the 80s or the late 90s.
Yeah, I think he was bigger in the 80s and early 90s. The Ranch, just the way he's in The Ranch on Netflix. Did the voice of Trusty in the Lady of Tramp remake. He's in A Star is Born.
Just look at Sam Elliott's IMDb now.
Basically. Sam Elliott. Couple of episodes of Parks and Recreation, a voice in The Good Dinosaur. So he's not really done anything massive.
Oh, he is in Parks and Rec. Doesn't he play like Ron? He plays Ron's like best friend, but then also nemesis. Does anyone watch Parks and Rec? Or is it just me?
No, I just know he's big, and I've not watched. He was in 2003 Hulk.
He was in the film with Peter Weller. That was it. It was called Blue Jean Cop over here, but it was called Shakedown. I don't know if you can't really see it. With Peter Weller, who of RoboCop fame.
Right,
Yeah. But it was called Blue Jean Cop here for some reason. I don't know.
I bet them dudes are at Helm's Hold. Kind of on the way to Thunder Tree.
Right, okay. So basically, there you go. Anyway, nice
contract there.
So, adventure.
Excellent work.
We always go off on a tangent, don't we?
This is it. Okay, so we discussed it a little bit last week. You're going to be looking at some time to get there. If you were to go
We was going to make a beeline, weren't we, rather than the road.
Yeah, so you can do that, kind of. 62 miles, it reckons. Call it a 60, to, you know. And you can travel at 24 a day. So it's going to take you 2.5 days. Or you could take the safe route, which will take a little bit longer.
We were going to take the quick route, weren't we, last week? I think we agreed on. So,
yeah. It'll take you the difference of 3 days or 5 days, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. The point is, we've got Droopy. They do come across a roving party of goblins, then he will be.
We're being slagged off in the Twitch chat. With respect, this session is going snail's pace. Agreed.
Oh, no.
Yeah. To be fair, we have been pissing about.
Sorry.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that's kind of what happens in D&D sometimes, you know.
Sometimes you got to shop.
Yeah, this is it. Cool.
Cool. Let's just go.
So you ride. You ride. You leave off. You'd probably about midday and stuff. Grab yourself one last meal before you go. Sun's looking all right as you travel on the first day, and you're making some good time. The weather's all right. You have to kind of go through some thicket, if you remember, when you were initially kind of had to cut up to Cragmore Castle. You're on the outskirts of the forest for a couple of miles there, so it does slow you down a little bit. And you would probably decide from that, because it's thickening out, you'd come a little bit out, so that you're not quite as densely packed. And you do about, like I said, do your half a day and you stop for rest. That's the first day. Nothing really exciting happens. I say it's nice weather. It's sunny. You travel around and you get up there. You're going to do watches and stuff on the first night?
Yeah, I think we should.
Yep. Absolutely.
So first watch, second watch, third watch?
I tell you what, what would that be?
Who's got dark vision? Me and Vincent.
I haven't got dark vision.
I have as well.
So if we start with Scapes to start, if it's just getting dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and good then, idea.
And then we'll take it from there.
Can I also fashion? I heard that I can fashion a little thing that tells me what the weather's going to be like in this place in the future. I think it's like a little tinder box thing. I can make a little weather guesser.
What the weather's gonna be like.
I just want to see what the weather's like in the next 24 hours.
So looking at the stars and stuff in the night and on the horizon, you feel the wind. You do think that there may be a storm brewing.
Mm-hmm. I don't really know what to do with that information, but just really clamp down the tents. There's fuck all else I can do, really. I'll use produce flame to give us a little campfire. Get that on the go.
Yeah, I'll take first watch.
I don't mind taking second watch after Scapes. It's fine.
Okay.
Can I get a few animals to be lookouts for us? Or is that beyond my remit?
That's probably beyond your remit, yeah.
I'll cut that out of the podcast.
So, first watch. Scapes. It's dark. Yeah. It's miserable. It's cold. You can feel that wind picking up. Nothing much happens for a couple of hours, but the clouds are coming. Second watch. Brr. So at some point, Scapes wakes you up and tells you, Fatty, your turn. He picks you up. You get yourself some kind of coffee or whatever, and you sit by, and then you kind of walk around and have a look around. Roll me a perception.
14,
lovely. So you hear some kind of rustling.
I've got a +3 on that, sorry.
17 overall, cool. Yeah, so you do hear some kind of rustling around, and you go kind of keep your ear out. You go and take a little bit forward. You got dark vision as a dwarf, you have? Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, cool. Yeah. And you realise that there's just like some kind of weird D&D night creature, like a badger or something, just sees you and then scarpers off.
Badger worm.
Nothing else much more exciting than that happens in your shift. Who's
amazing.
Next?
Me.
Help you go.
Lovely. So what? How long are you doing shifts each? 2-3 hours? 4 hours?
4 hours, all the fault. Oh, no, that's far too long. Yeah, three.
Yeah, exactly, three. Yeah,
2 or 3 hours. So let's say that you guys just camped up and you had some dinner and stuff around six-ish, and then maybe you guys thought, well, we've got a long old way ahead. So after a bit of talking, you start drifting off to sleep around nine-ish. So let's call it early hours of the morning now, sort of two-ish, two, three in the morning. Okay. Again, roll me a perception.
Oh, nine.
Again, half elf night vision. Yeah. So you've got you see that camp there going on, and everything seems fine. You know, you maybe had a joke with Burr when he got you up, and you was like, "Oh, anything happened at all?" And he's like, "Oh, I saw a badger, but that's about all." And you're like, "Oh, right, yeah, yeah." So what? How do you kind of picture that you're going to be running your turn? You know, what kind of stuff would you get out to walking? You know, walking around. Would you sit, climb a tree?
I'd circle, perimeter check, basically.
Yeah.
As quietly as possible as well, so I'd be trying to be quiet.
Who's rustling a bag?
Is that it's a backy packet.
Oh, no, sorry.
That's all right. All right.
It's 4 hours more work for me.
No. cool. Right. Unfortunately, you don't notice as you're walking around, stumbling out of the bushes.
There's some ice cream behind the tree.
Is Droop asleep as well?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Droop. Yeah, so Droop kind of would have like done his watch with Scapes. Absolutely, yeah, and helped him out. Yeah, yeah. He's got asleep. Yeah, absolutely. So,
I'm sorry. Look, let me mute.
I mean, we're trying to be quiet. We're about to get attacked.
I'm sorry.
It's James's fault, not mine.
It wasn't a rusty. It wasn't a badger in the bushes. It was James.
I've just cast all my spells. So I've turned around and he's rolling the bag.
Okay. So stumbling through the bushes and they come at you are some some things. I've got to try and remember how to use roll 20.
What's that? Is that trees?
They're trees. Yeah.
Nice. And I was wondering when we'd be doing it like this, because I always thought, trees. Oh, that would be a great idea.
Lovely, beautiful trees.
Is that our campfire?
There's a campfire still in the warm. Middle.
Oh, it looks lovely. It's beautiful.
So, yeah, that's so you guys annoying. All asleep by the fire, unfortunately. And then Millicent's failed a perception check. Everybody roll initiative.
Don't forget, Bear, you've got your pluses now to initiative.
Plus.
We've got 19 anyway. I'll take my first one there, 5.
So my original initiative was +3, and now I get another +3 because of my rakish audacity.
Interesting. Yeah, it's pretty.
So I get +6.
It makes sense though, rogue assassin. You're
always up for a ruck.
That's it.
So stumbling from the bushes that no one else sees because you're asleep is this bad boy.
It's a zombie.
It's kind of a zombie, but it's actually kind of a zombie. It's not. It's a ghoul. Ghouls roam the night in packs, driven by an insatiable hunger for humanoid flesh. They're undead. They're kind of like an upgraded version of zombies. So they're like zombies, but a bit tougher. You ever play Fallout?
Yes.
Yeah, like the feral ghouls in them. They're like them.
Okay.
Before we kick off, did you say that I can hold a concentration spell whilst in wild shape, providing I cast it before I transform?
Correct.
Excellent.
So Millicent, unfortunately, you haven't noticed this, but they have. They're all stumbling at you. You hear them rushing, and they're going to charge. They're not going to make it close enough to attack you this round. I'm going to say that they're further away than that. Sorry, my dog is barking. It's a pathetic bark in the world. But you're basically being awake and everyone else being asleep. You will have an action where you can try and position yourself somewhere or shout and scream, wake people up.
It's just an action I've got, yeah?
Yeah.
Wake us up.
Well, you've got a round, so you've got a movement round just as normal.
Well, then I shall just back to fuck up to our party, and I will just shout out, look alive, fuckers, we've got company.
Cool.
Oh, I'll tell you what I will do. I will inspire, if I've got my bonus action, I'll inspire justice. I'll inspire escape.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Was that a plus four, is it?
It's a D4. Plus D6 to an attack roll. If you need, or actually, to anything, isn't it? Well, to an attack, basically.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Ability check, attack roll, saving throw, just in case you need it.
Excellent.
My dog is gonna might have to take her out. All right, so
take her out. Oh,
yeah, basically.
Send her to the farm.
Send her to the farm. Yeah. Right, what we're gonna do then? Before this kicks off, let's have a break. I wasn't going to. I was going to do this combat first, but the dog, it needs a kick up the ass. So
I'll make a couple of rows here then.
Right. So, yeah, guys in the chat, anyone listening at home on the podcast in a week or two, I do apologize. This has been a slow burner. The intention for this show was always to represent what's the actual like. I'm not producing this show for podcasts. We're doing it as an extra bit of fun because we want to. But it's kind of what D&D is like. I'm not going to rush it through. I'm not going to stage it. I'm not going to script it. You know, and sometimes it does move a little bit slower. But I think we had some fun in the first.
Sometimes you have to think about that guy from RoboCop.
It's cool. We've got to have one just for us, man.
Yeah.
So, we received a warning this week.
We'll get through this, and then we'll go and kill a dragon or something. All right.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's just take a 5 minute break, and we'll be back in a bit. Thanks everybody for your patience. I like what he's saying. It is fun. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. You just got Luke out, man. He's going to top himself otherwise.
All right. Okay, cool. So, guys, we'll, yeah, see you in five then.
All right. See you in a second.
Bye.
Bye.
The D&D Show would like to thank Sword Coast Soundscapes on YouTube for the music and sound effects used in this recording. Find him on Twitter at Sword Coast Sounds. Also, a massive thank you to Lewis Gale for producing our amazing theme tune. Follow him on Twitter at LewisSWGale. Lastly, from all of us here at the D&D Show, thank you for downloading this podcast. You're breathtaking. See you in part two.
Danger. Mystery. Intrigue. Think you've heard all that actual play podcasts have to offer? Think again. I'm Nate Peterson. The Dungeon Master for... Yes, Stuart, what can I do for you?
I know naught of this, Stuart. My name is Dweezil Vansafir, the Bard of Bards.
Well, firstly, your name's Stuart and you're from Yorkshire. Secondly, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm trying to record an advert for our show.
Well, firstly, in your parlance, I've never even heard of this Yorkshire. And secondly, if there is a show to be advertised, then surely it should be I, Dweezil Vansafir, to do the advertising.
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, surely this is a job for me as the Dungeon Master.
Perhaps a, song?
No, I certainly don't think it's time for a song.
Five adventurers, brave and true, strong of will and strong of arm, a band unbreakable through and through, they protect each other from insult and harm. What more persuasion could one require? Tune in to hear our tales.
Dice and Desire. You see, Stuart, words do have power, but certainly not as much power as the Dungeon Master. Join me as I corral my merry band of misfits to Storm King's Thunder every week on Dice and Design, a 5e actual play podcast.
Here at Pen and Slabs, we take our episodes seriously. Observe!
Natural one.
Confounded dragon. I must prepare for next week.
Why? What are we doing next week, Bellry?
The same thing we do every week, Dragon. Try to accent the world.
It's Penance. It's Penance RPG.
Penance RPG. The definition of insanity.